I feel like we're past where we were last year, especially this point. But I think even at the end of the year, communication-wise, like, we always have tight ends now, running backs in the meetings, quarterbacks coming in, wide receiver. Like, we have our assistant line coach going over the wide receiver room, just know so they know our blocking schemes, how they want to block it. And so I think we're at a better communication standpoint than where we ended last year. So I think we're all just very comfortable with each other, and everyone trusts each other.
Bills offensive lineman Connor McGovern there, as the Bills are, hey, we're 24 hours away from Bills and Cardinals. You'll hear coverage starting right here, 7 a.m. tomorrow.
Big day.
Big day.
Football is back. Bills, for the Bills football.
Bills football will be back. That's the biggest part.
Yes.
That's the biggest part. I don't have to keep getting mad about the Xavier Worthy thing. Why? Because Bills football will be back. And I figured, why not have a good chance to talk with someone about that? Someone that I've wanted to talk to for a little while now, since he's arrived in the market, from WIVB, Channel 4 here in Buffalo. Carl Jones joining us now on the West Her Hotline. Carl, it's Derek and Joe here with you. First of all, good to talk to you.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys got me on, man. I'm excited to be here.
We appreciate it here as well, Carl. And you had a nice discussion with Ryan Clark that, you know, brought a lot of insight, especially with the Bills secondary. I don't want to highlight that thing that ended up being misconstrued by people, but it was really more or less like there are some legitimate questions about this Bills team coming into the start of the regular season. Most notably on defense, a lot of big names went out the door. Carl, when it comes to this Bills defense, as we get started with Bills and Cardinals tomorrow, what are your biggest takeaways here for what you're looking for with the Bills defense as they try to start anew with a different core on the defensive front?
Yeah, I think we got to talk about the safety room, right? And with all of the tenure that Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer had back there, I'm interested to see how DeMar Hamlin and Taylor Rapp do back there. And the one thing that made the other two so unique and special, they played on a string. And some of that had to do with the fact that they played together so long. But also, they were really darn good football players. And there's some of the things that you just do innately out there on the football field where you say, you know what, you see this specific formation, you know that guy next to you is going to react in this way with this route combination and things of that nature. So in a Sean McDermott defense, which puts a lot of stress on the safeties, how long will it take for Taylor Rapp and DeMar Hamlin to develop that type of chemistry if they ever do? That is something that I want to see as well, because it's one thing to do it in training camp in the offseason. It's another thing to do it when the bullets are live and the team across from you is trying to take your head off.
One thing, though, that the safety group does have going for them here is they have probably one of the best group of corners, starting corners in the National Football League when it comes to Rasul Douglas, Christian Benford, and Taron Johnson there. How valuable is it going to be to have such a strong cornerback front for those safeties to be working together for the first time?
Y'all are talking about defensive backs, because y'all know that's my wheelhouse. I love this talk right here. But I think it's very important, especially with the two type of cornerbacks that are going to be starting for the Bills. I mean, I'm going to include Taron Johnson in that as well. But with Rasul Douglas and Christian Benford, they're very smart football players. I've talked to Rasul for a while now that I've been here, and he's a very attention to detail player. He looks at splits. He looks at where guys are lined up, the entire formation, and he gets the whole picture, and that helps out everyone on the defense. So for a guy like Taylor Rapp, if Rasul Douglas on a third down can say, hey, I think this is coming, that helps you out, and it allows you to play a little bit faster out there on the field. So your mind isn't going 1,000 miles a minute. So it does help when you got two corners out there who are smart, they're confident in what they do, and you don't have as much stress on your plate.
Keeping it with the defense here, Dorian Williams taking significant snaps for Matt Milano, not exactly something you saw a lot from the Bills last season. We were speaking earlier in the show about how they called A.J. Klein off of a vacation with his family to come and play against Kansas City rather than have Dorian Williams out there. So I guess what's your confidence in him taking these significant snaps for Matt Milano?
I'm very intrigued in that as well. I think one thing with Dorian Williams that is going to be obvious, he's going to play with an optimum effort. He's going to go out there with his hair on fire. He's going to hit anything that comes that crosses his face. And I think that's going to be apparent from snap one. But I will think something we're going to have to watch out for is some of the misdirection stuff in the passing game as well, where you have to think a little bit more. It's not as much as see ball, get ball. And I think you look in the preseason, one of the plays where the tight end crossed his face and he kind of lost track of where he was supposed to be. That is something that kind of plagued him last year, and you hope that he can rectify that before the regular season. And he'll get better, you hope, as time goes on and he gets more reps with the live bullets. But Remember last year, the Bills didn't really feel confident, especially in obvious passing down situations, to have the second linebacker out there. So they brought in Taylor Rapp so Jordan Poyer can be the dime backer, quote unquote. Will they have to do that again if Dorian Williams can't pick that up? I think that's going to be something for the first month of the season we're going to watch.
Carl Jones of WIVB joining us here on the West Her Hotline. We are 24 hours away from Bills and Cardinals at Highmark Stadium. Carl, when it comes to this season, over the past couple of years, the Bills have been known almost unanimously as title contenders. Now here they are marching into a new season, still supposed to be in some sort of contending window when you have a quarterback like Josh Allen. But what is the what's the vibe in the locker room when it comes to a different sense of pressure? Not as much probably external pressure when it comes to the Bills and that locker room.
I think as a competitor and a team who has played as much ball as they have into January, you're going to always have the expectation of Super Bowl. I think with some of the veterans that are no longer there, it's not as much on the forefront. You're not talking about it outwardly as much. But don't get it twisted. As long as 17 is on your roster, you're always going to get a date to the dance, and it just depends on how long you're at the party at that point. So everyone in that locker room knows they have the second-best player in football that can take them as far as he can go. And you're going to have that confidence. And this year, I will say, I saw it from the first day of training camp, there's a different type of juice to the group this year. And I'm not saying last year's juice was bad or anything of the nature, but it's just different. I think it's a little bit more free. And it's something to do with that, with the guys are younger, they're newer, so you're not going to be a little bit more loose in that regard. But I will say loose, the juices are flowing, and it is unique to see that after what we saw over the past 3 or 4 years.
Absolutely. Now, taking a look at the AFC East as a whole here, the Bills are not favored at this point in time. In my opinion, it's their division until it's not, but the Jets are a big favorite here. The Dolphins are, being touted as a team that can give the Bills a run for their money after all the losses on offense and defense. Where exactly do you stand on the Bills and their position in the AFC East?
Like I said earlier, as long as you got 17, you can go a pretty darn good way. If the game was played in a video game and you can turn the injury sliders off, I think I would feel pretty confident with the Jets taking the division. And I know you necessarily can't predict injuries, but Aaron Rodgers is up there in age. The offensive line, all of those players in general haven't been the beacon of health. So I think it's kind of hard for me to sit here today and say, yes, I can predict that Aaron Rodgers is going to give you 17 games or that Tyron Smith is going to give you 15-plus. I just can't sit here in good faith and say that. And I truly don't think Miami's offense translates to deep postseason ball. All that has to do with, I think, their interior offensive line isn't a strength, and Tua Tagovailoa has his weaknesses that are kind of hard to play deep into the season. So as long as 17 is there, and I know there are question marks around him, but I think he is that darn good of a player where he can do the minimum to uplift his team to at least in the divisional title.
Carl, of course, the biggest topic that has been debated around here all throughout the offseason was what to do with the wide receiver position. Well, now we're here. We're finally getting into day one of the regular season tomorrow. And what are your thoughts on what the Bills have in the wide receiver room? What are the potential strengths and weaknesses that you're looking at when it comes to the pass catchers with the Bills?
I feel like I'm sounding, like a little bit of a parrot here with what the Bills say, but like there's a lot of versatility in the group. You can line up Keon Coleman, inside and outside. Although I know his draft profile said that he might be best in the inside, I want to see if he can play on the outside a little bit with his big frame. Same thing with Curtis Samuel. Khalil Shakir projects best in the slot, but I think if you put him on the outside, he could survive. Matt Collins as well with versatility. So I think that makes you a little bit hard to predict. Because as a former defensive back, if a guy is lining up in different places, you can't really predict what the offense is going to do. So that is a plus. On the other side, though, I am intrigued to see who can be the guys that can win one-on-one, because at the end of the day, the coach can put you up, can help you out as much as he can. But if it's 3rd and 8, there's no fancy play call to win. You got a guy in front of you. You got to be a dog. And I think from what I've seen at camp, Khalil Shakir can be that guy. But then also I have high expectations in Dalton Kincaid. And I think that he can be a guy who can kind of build the passing game through him to a certain extent as well. For those who watch the game on Thursday, what Rashee Rice did with a lot of underneath routes quick, Dalton Kincaid and Khalil Shakir can kind of embody that same type of role as well, where just pepper the ball right there. Just pepper it going at attacking backers and inside nickel players who you feel as if you have a matchup advantage with. The outside guys remain to be seen, but those two I have a lot of faith in.
Now, we are in the trenches here, in the station here, at in the Worthy Wars after his performance the other night, after the first outing. And the fans who were upset, the Bills traded with Kansas City to allow him to get drafted. Now their cries have gotten louder as he scored two touchdowns the other night. I guess what's your take on the position here, trading back to draft Keon Coleman and, you know, trading with the Chiefs, inevitably drafting Xavier Worthy?
Listen, I think two things can be true, and I know that, hey, like, we live in this world where it's one way or another. I do think giving Andy Reid objectively a talent like that is very scary, like, full stop. Like, I don't care when he was in Philadelphia, when he had a player like Deshaun Jackson, obviously Tyreek Hill, who I think is a different skill set, but just that type of speed and athleticism is scary. On the other hand, though, the Bills, I don't think, were ever interested in Xavier Worthy anyways, and based off how they built the receiver room this year, I think it's fair to say that's the case. So I truly don't think it's that bad of a trade, considering they've shown you the rest of the offseason they were never interested in a skill set like that. You get the extra picks. You hope that it turns into something with Dwayne Carter. And listen, as a Browns fan, growing up a Browns fan, everyone loves picks until picks become names. So we'll see what Dwayne Carter and Keon Coleman become. But I think two things can be true. The Bills were never interested in him in the first place based off what they did in the offseason. And also, yes, giving Andy Reid something like that is very, very scary.
Hey, you know what? We do need neutral parties in this sort of debate. So I'm always going to appreciate that.
I'm like Switzerland, man. I'm sorry. I'm like Switzerland. I'm sorry. I'm dying in the middle right now.
Hey, you know what, though? Sometimes there are impartial standards there, just watching the bullets whiz back and forth with the takes. So, you know what? I got to appreciate that kind of a balanced answer, too. Carl, last thing for you. Bills and Cardinals, 1 p.m. kickoff. How you think this is going to go down? We've seen the Bills stumble every now and then with a season opener. We look right back at last year, for example. But typically, this is a team that likes to start strong.
I think it'll be a bit of a higher scoring game. If I had to give a prediction right now, I'd say like 28-24, 27-21, around there. For one reason, I don't think the Cardinals have a lot of talent on the defensive side of the ball. They're very young, a lot of patched up unit on the defensive side. So I think if the Bills can execute to a certain extent, they won't have trouble. On the other hand, though, I do like what the Cardinals have on the offensive side of the ball. Trey McBride took a huge step last year, and he's probably going to be a top five tight end in the game this year. Love Marvin Harrison Jr. Growing up in Ohio, I've been watching Marv since his first day on campus as a freshman, and I think he is what they look like when it comes to all-pro level receivers eventually. And then I like the running game as well. When you watch them, they play with like a certain like physicality that's like always cool to watch in the game of football. And I think that the Bills' defense will have some growing pains in terms of some communication things on the back end and trying to figure that out with all the mixed direction stuff that the Cardinals like to do. So I think they take care of business, but I don't think it'll be a blowout if I had to guess right here.
All right. Well, I mean, winning, even if it's close, is still winning, and that will be ultimately what decides things in the standings. Carl, let the people know where they can find any of your work, and thank you for talking to us as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You can find I do a lot of stuff on Twitter. I play defensive back at Syracuse, for those who didn't know. So I look at everything through like a cornerback and safety lens. So I'll tweet stuff throughout the game from time to time and say, hey, maybe Rasul Douglas was thinking this, Christian Benford, Kyrie, Taryn, whatever the case may be. Find that, all that good type of stuff. Jones11 underscore, some good content there that I've dropped throughout the week. And all the other good takes I have, like Syracuse Athletics right now, we're up on Georgia Tech.
Hey, there you go. Carl, thanks for joining us. It was a pleasure to talk to you for the first time, and can't wait to see more of what you've got.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys having me on.